I've got so much to say tonight. Have you ever wanted something so badly, but then when you got it, it was kind of disappointed? You wanted something so badly, and then once you attained it, you were disappointed. How many of y'all remember that as a kid? You just wanted a toy. Katie and I, we have two sons, Josiah and Malachi, 6 and 3, and we wanted this bat cave for Christmas. I was like, what is a bat cave? And we got it for them. They played with it 2 days, and Daddy, can I get another toy? I'm like, no. Have you ever went out, guys, have you ever went out and got that beautiful bass boat? Husbands, have you ever gone out and bought a brand new car for your wife? That was a pretty good feeling, right? But 30 or 60 days later, when that payment came due, you ever like wanted something so badly, and then once you attained it, you were disappointed? I mean, what about marriage? Oh, hold on. Like for our singles in here. Do you know what we painted a picture of today in marriage? We painted a picture today in our culture that says, man, once you get married, everything's going to be so great. I mean, you dream of just cuddling up with your spouse, your one and only. Amen. And cuddling up with them and just drifting off to sleep every night. And then you get married and you realize that is the most uncomfortable position in the world to fall asleep in. My wife and I get ready for bed, give her a kiss, and I say, baby, you get on your side, I stay on my side, don't touch me. Amen? I actually said that before at a church, and literally I had a husband and a wife came up to me and they said, we really do fall asleep in each other's arms every night. And I said, you're weird, man. Y'all are weird. So, but you know, we do that with a lot of things, don't we? But the tragic thing about it is that I'm afraid that many of us, oh, by the way, can I just say a word about marriage for a second? Listen, when you get married, for y'all that's not married, I want you to know everything's not just perfect. And that's okay. You're going to be disappointed at times, and that's okay. Your spouse is going to have bad breath in the morning. You are too. Like, it's okay. But a lot of times we go in with these expectations that are completely unrealistic. And then when we get into this commitment called marriage, then we're like, wait a minute, this is not what I thought it was going to be, because some false teaching or false mystical idea of what marriage is supposed to be came from the world rather than from the Bible, and therefore when it doesn't meet our expectations, we want to flee and get out of it. But marriage is a beautiful thing. And I'm afraid that many of us walk into Christianity thinking something similar. I think many of us think that if we just go to church, everything will be fine. I think a lot of us think that when we enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, if we just say some prayer, then God's going to fix everything for us. I think a lot of times we have an unrealistic expectation of what a believer really is about. You see, a lot of us, we come to know Christ. Remember when you were first saved? You remember when God completely changed your life? I don't know about you, but I had a radical transformation when I was 14 years old. Radical transformation. My life was a wreck. God came in, rescued me, changed me, and I was on fire for Jesus Christ. You remember that in your life? And then a lot of times you get into Christianity and then you kind of look around and you see what everybody else is doing. Oh, don't do that. Don't come into the faith and just look around and see what the normal Christian is doing. Because I'm going to tell you, the normal Christian in America, I don't want to be that. Amen? I don't want to be the normal family. I don't want to be the normal Christian who walks in to our churches week in and week out, and the only Christianity that's part of their life is on Sunday and maybe on Wednesday. And there's nothing else there. And many times we just kind of give up. Well, being a Christian is about going to church. Can I just tell you tonight that God has so much more for you and your family than just attending a church service? You see, what God's doing, He's looking and He's searching. He's saying, who will that college student, who will that teenager, who will that young adult and that older adult, that family, that daddy, that mommy, that student, that kid, who's going to be passionate for me? Who's going to live in this idea of just saying, God, whatever it takes, Lord, whatever it is you want me to do, I'll go anywhere, I'll go say anything, I will do whatever you want me to do. Where are those people? Where are those students who will go up into high school and literally say, I don't care about my popularity, I just care about Jesus. I am passionate about Jesus. What about Jeremiah? What about who? Where are those people that says, man, I've got this gospel is so stored up in my bones. It's so part of who I am that even when I get tired, even when I get weary and I just want to hold it in, I can't. The gospel is so real in my life, and I'm so passionate about Jesus and the vision and mission that He's given to my life. Even when I want to hold it in and shut up and not say anything, I can't. I've got to let it out. Where's that dad? Where's that husband? Where's that family? Where's that student? Where's that church? Where's that church that's so desperate for God, we're willing to do anything? Where's that church that says, man, I am so passionate and I believe so much that the gospel is true and is real. I'm going to just literally dedicate my whole life to Him. Where's that church? Where's that church that doesn't care about the time? Where's that church that doesn't care about their reputation? Where's that church that says, you know what, I don't care if I have to stay here till 3:00 in the morning. I just want more of Jesus. Where's that church? You see, you have to, in life, we have to find something that we're so passionate about, we're willing to do anything in the world to get more of Him. It's been said, and I believe it's true, you have as much as God, we have as much of God as we want. So I want to ask you, how much of God do you have? Is He changing your life? Is he making a difference in your family? How is your family different today than he was yesterday because of the gospel? Where's the passionate followers of Jesus Christ? Where are those willing to stand up and say, send me? Send me, I'll go. It's dangerous, I'll go. Where's the person who'll say, hey, I'll go to that student. I'll go to that student, that high school student who no one talks about and talks to. I'll go sit with them at the table. That'll be me. I've got a group of friends, but you know what? My group, I'm willing to open up our group and include anybody and everybody. Where's someone at work and somebody's using the Lord's name in vain and cursing God, but you just sit back and you're afraid to stand up for God, not in a mean way, but in a loving way. How many of you are asked to do something at your job that is completely unethical, but you won't stand up and say what's true because you're afraid you're going to lose your job? I want to talk to you this evening about a prophet who is so passionate that he was willing to go anywhere, do anything, and say anything as the Lord is leading. And my hope and prayer is for every one of you tonight, before you leave this place, that will be true of you. Turn with me in the Bible to the book of Amos, Amos chapter 7, verse 10. Amos, just to kind of help you find that book, it's just right after Joel and right before Obadiah. Glad I could help. Amos chapter 7, verse 10. Stand with me, if you will. I'm going to tell you, as I was looking over this sermon this morning and this afternoon, I will tell you, this is a hard message to preach, and it's a hard message to hear. But I'm praying God's going to come down in this place in a very, very special way this evening. Amos chapter 7, verse 10. Are you ready? Amen. Now, if you're still in the book called Index, just close your Bible. You're never going to get there. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from his land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go flee away to the land of Judah and eat bread there and prophesy there. But never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary and it is a temple of the king. Now listen to the prophet. Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet nor a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore figs. But the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, go prophesy to my people Israel. Now therefore, hear the word of the Lord. You say, do not prophesy against Israel, and do not preach against the house of Isaac. Therefore, thus says the Lord, your wife shall be a prostitute in the city, and your sons and your daughters shall fall by the sword, and your land shall be divided up with the measuring line. You yourself shall die in an unclean land, and Israel shall surely go into exile away from its land. Father, we have to have you tonight. Pour down on this place like never before. Save people tonight and place a passion within your church like it's never been. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now let's take a look in verse 10a to give some background. Stay with me. If you fall asleep tonight, I promise you, you won't see how everything ties together at the end. So stay with me, please. Then Amaziah, there's the first word, Amaziah. The second word is Bethel, 10a. The third word is Jeroboam. Let's talk about the second word real quickly, the word Bethel. If you will remember, whenever, after the nation of Israel split in two, okay, it was Israel, and then it split, it divided, and it was the northern kingdom and then the southern kingdom, okay? And way back when, there was a king there named Jeroboam the First. He was a wildly wicked, wicked, wicked king. Very wicked king. In Bethel, what we find here is that there were two places of worship. Two places of worship. One in Dan and then one in Bethel. The reason Jeroboam wanted these two places of worship was because every year, every single year, the northern part would go down to the southern part for their annual feast. And so he didn't want that. He was a wildly wicked king. He didn't want any of that to take place. And so he had another very, very incredibly wicked pagan worship at Bethel right there. And so the reason that's so important is because in the context here this evening, Bethel is a place of extreme
extreme, listen, extreme pagan worship. They're not worshiping the true God of the Bible, okay? They are worshiping all these little g gods. Now, it's very important to understand whenever we get into this passage. So that's Bethel. It's in the place in the lion's den is where we are. Now, look at the other word, Jeroboam. Now, this is not the same Jeroboam. This is a different Jeroboam. But this Jeroboam is also, guess what, is also a very wildly wicked king. Okay, all you have to do is look at his name to really understand that. For instance, he was named after that first Jeroboam. Okay, now what does that tell us tonight? It's kind of like if one of you named your kid Adolf Hitler Johnson II. Okay, I could tell a whole lot about your family if you did that. Okay, and so he is also a wildly wicked king. Okay, just like the first Jeroboam was. Then we come in and we see the first word is Amaziah. Now, I want you to know that every single word in the Bible is so, so important. If you'll look right after the word Amaziah, you will see the word the priest. Now, what does that tell us? First of all, we are in the center of pagan worship. Number two, the king, who is a wildly wicked king, is present. And now we see Amaziah. The little article, the, tells us that more than likely he was the king's right-hand man. He wasn't just a priest, but he was the priest, which is more than likely the high priest, the king's right-hand man, who is also wildly, wildly wicked. Pagan worship, not serving the God of the Bible. That's where we are. That's the context of this passage that we're going to read. Does that seem familiar to anybody? You realize that we too are in the midst of paganism, even in the United States of America. You realize that we're around people every single day that are wildly wicked. You realize that we're around people every single day. They don't know Jesus Christ, and we are becoming the minority in this country and in a lot of other places. So I want you to see the parallels in this passage this evening as we walk through it. All you need to know right now is that the prophet Amos is walking around preaching in this pagan place like never before. That's all you need to know is that he is preaching the message of God. So let's see what happens. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amaziah heard the prophet preaching and he went right to the king. Listen to what he says. Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. Now, what is he saying here? This Hebrew expression that Amos has conspired against you. The high priest is telling the king, this prophet, this man of God has conspired against you. What does that mean? You know what he's accusing him of? He's accusing him of committing political treason. But you see, Amaziah doesn't get it. Amaziah doesn't understand. You see, the man of God, Amos, was not about rallying a bunch of rebels to overthrow the government. That's not what was going on here. Amaziah's got it all twisted up. You see, he's not trying to rally a bunch of rebels to go in and overthrow the king and overthrow the government. Instead, he is allowing, listen to me, he is allowing the word of God, listen, the man of God and the message of God is to go in to mobilize the message of God in order to overthrow, listen, to overthrow rebellious hearts. He's not trying to rally a bunch of rebels to overthrow the government. He's trying to allow the message and the word of God to overthrow rebellious hearts in the place. Because God told Amos, I want you to go into the lion's den and I want you to declare the message and the word of God. Yes, it's scary. Yes, it's dangerous. Yes, they're going to be against you. I want you to go and declare my message. And so you know what he did? He went. You know what most of us do? We won't even go across the street.
Many of us won't even go across the table. Most of us will not even go to a person who's going to be extremely friendly to us. Most of us won't do anything. Why? Because we're fearful. Number one reason that I believe that most Christians do not live out the calling and the vision and the mission God has given, because we're fearful. We're fearful of what's going to happen to us. People say all the time, well, those countries you go to, is it safe? Well, not all the time, but listen, God's not necessarily concerned about your safety. You say, we say a lot, hey, the safest place you can be is in the center of God's will. Really? If God called someone here tonight that you were going to leave this place and you were going to take your little kids and your family and move to a rock, you think that's safe? By the way, I know people that are there right now. You see, being in the center of God's will isn't always the safest place to be. But church, listen to me. Being in the center of God's will is always the right place to be. It's always the right place to be. And so he says, hey, he's trying to overthrow. You know he's not. He's trying to get the word of God to this pagan city. Now let's see what happens. Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. Now, what does that word midst mean? It means a specific place. It's not just speaking metaphorically of the house of Israel, either the northern kingdom or the southern kingdom. It's saying a specific place. And where's that specific place? In Bethel. He took it to where they needed it the most. So the question is this evening, are you taking the message of God where it needs the most? Where in Tuscaloosa do people need to hear the gospel the most? Where is it at? Is it the street corner? Is it our schools? Where is it? We've got to penetrate this town, this city, with the powerful, life-changing message of Jesus Christ. Who's doing it? Who's passionate enough to take the word of God all around this city? Who's passionate enough? Who believes in the gospel enough? Who's willing to dedicate your life to declare the glory of the Lord and His message, regardless of what it costs us? You see, Amos was. He didn't back up. He didn't shut up. He didn't sit down. He went straight for them. Why? Because he believed in the gospel. He believed in God. See, the problem is many of us say we believe in Him, but I wondered this evening how many of us really believe. Because listen, our actions always dictate or reveal what we really believe. You see, if we say we love the Word of God, but we're never in the Word of God, we really don't love the Word of God. If we say, hey, I believe in the Word of God, but we don't obey the Word of God, we really don't believe the Word of God. My pastor says all the time, it's not the truth that you know that makes the difference. It's the truth you obey that makes the difference. You see, I think the reason many of us we're slacking in our passion is because we don't necessarily really believe what God says He is and who He is and what He has done on the cross of Calvary. But when that really comes together and really arrests our heart tonight, our lives are going to be different. Our outlook is going to be different. We're not going to put sports over the gospel. We're not going to put our wants over the gospel. We're not going to put our desires over the gospel. We're not going to put our families over the gospel. The gospel will be everything to us when we really understand it, we really believe it, we will be passionate enough to go anywhere, do anything, say anything. If we really believe it. And he says, the land is not able to bear all his words. That simply means he kept preaching and he didn't stop preaching. Never grow weary in doing good. Never grow weary. Some of you are weary this evening. Keep pressing on through the power of God in your life. This city needs Jesus. This church needs Jesus. You need Jesus. I'm so tired of everybody getting so passionate about everything on social media. But my question is, and I don't know, but my question is, what is your life like? We get on social media and we go on these huge rants about what we think the everybody should be doing in our country. But my question is, are you living out the gospel? Are we
we living passionate lives for Jesus? Are we inviting people into our homes, investing and pouring our lives into them? Are we using and making every moment count in our lives? Man, this life is fleeting. Man, we don't have much time. Where are the passionate followers of Jesus Christ? Verse 11 says, "For thus Amos has said," now watch this, "For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from his land." Now pay very close attention to this. What Amaziah has done has mixed a little bit of truth with a whole lot of lies. He goes to the king. If you want to get a king's attention, you tell him that his people are in trouble and that his life is on the line. Now, he did say that the people were going to go into exile. That is true. But what he didn't say was that he was going to literally die by the sword. No, what he said was, if you'll read back in chapter 6 in there, what he said was that the sword would never leave the house of Jeroboam. And we know that doesn't mean that he's necessarily going to die by the sword, because the same thing was said of David, but David didn't die in that manner. And so what Amaziah did was take a little bit of truth and mixed it with a lot of false statements. Is that not what the media, and is that not what the people in the world around us do to Christianity? Is that not what they do to the church? They give a little bit of truth, but then a whole lot of lies about what we believe. They tell the world, the millions and millions of people, what we believe. But it's not their fault. Do you know why they're defining what we believe? Is because the church has stopped saying what we believe. The church has stopped repeating the message of God. The church stopped. Listen, Amos, what did he do? He repeated the message of God. Repeated, told it, and told it, and told it, and told it. What we've done, we've stopped. So now what's happened? The secular world, the pagans, they're telling our story using their own dictionary. We've stopped telling our story. We're too worried about losing our 501c3 status. We're too worried about getting sued. We're too worried about hurting someone's feelings. Listen, if we stop telling our message, they're going to tell it using their own words. We stop telling our story. We've stopped telling how Jesus has changed our lives. Some of us have forgotten how passionate we should be for the kingdom. Some of us have forgotten what it means to be lost and on our way to hell. Some of us have lost what it means that Jesus died for us and set us free and forgave us. Some of us forget to think about that the world needs what's happened to us. We need our fire back. We need a light within us that's never going to go out. We need to dedicate our lives, our words, our thoughts, our money, our behavior, our families, everyone to the call of Christ. We need some passionate followers of Jesus to stand up and start taking our city and our nation and our world back for the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we've got to have. That's what we're looking for. That's what God is looking, searching for those. Who's going to serve me? We become too comfortable. Come too comfortable. Verse 12 says, "And Amaziah said to Amos," so now listen to me, listen very closely. The high priest went to the king. Now the high priest is going to the man of God. Listen to me, Jesus tarries. Mark, write this down. Put the date, mark it down. They have gone to the government. They will come to the man and woman now. Jesus tarries. Persecution is coming to this nation like we have never seen it before. It's coming. I'm telling you, it's coming. Right here. "And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer," he's making fun of him. "Hey, you prophet, you someone who thinks you can see into the future. Hey, O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah." You know what he's saying? Your message isn't wanted here. Hey, once you cross that state line from Judah over into Bethel, once you crossed over that state line, your message is not wanted here. Go back. You see, Amaziah's got it all confused. Because the power of God, The man of God, the woman of God, the student of God, the boy of God, the girl of God, listen to me, and the message of God, listen to me, will never, ever, ever be hindered, be stopped by a state line, by a county line, by a mountain, by a fixture, by water, by a volcano, by a natural disaster, any nation, any people, any tribe, any, listen to me, nothing stops the authority and the power of God's person and God's message. The only thing that stops the message of God is the man, woman, boy, or girl of God refusing to take the message of God where God's told us to. There's not a state line that's going to... Listen, that's why you can go in confidence sharing the gospel. You can walk up to someone's house and you can knock on that door with boldness and with confidence. Why? Because your daddy sent you there and your daddy owns the place. Now, don't take that too far. You'll get arrested. But you know what I'm saying. It says, flee to the way to the land of Judah. You know what we've done? People sold us at school, teenagers, some of us universities and in our jobs. You know what people said? Hey, I don't want to hear that. You know what we do? I'm going back to Judah. It's time for us to leave Judah and get to Bethel. I don't want to hear that. Oh, they don't want to hear it. Okay. You've not gone up to someone's door and started knocking. This is how some of us knock on a door. No, they're not here. Man, we're so timid. You think Jesus was timid when he was dying nude in front of the whole community? Think he was timid? No, he was passionate. And he says this, and he says, and eat bread there. Eat bread there. What is he talking about there? Well, that's it's a Hebrew expression. It's called an idiomatic expression. You know what it means? It just means making a living. And so you know what Amaziah is saying to Amos? He's saying, hey, you're just coming into Bethel, stirring up trouble, grabbing a paycheck and leaving. He's accusing him of being in the ministry for the money. That's crazy. Don't go in the ministry for the money, I'm telling you. Right? That's not why he's there. And he's about to explain that here in a second. And he says this, and prophesies there, but never again prophesy at Bethel. For it is the king's sanctuary and is the temple of the king. Let me ask you this, church. What would happen if Amos listened to Bethel? What would have happened if he left Bethel and stopped preaching? Write this down. Our silence... Your silence, my silence, our silence makes us royal subjects of the devil. Our silence makes us royal subjects of the devil. You see, who would he have been serving? God said, go prophesy. They say, leave. Who are we going to listen to? Man, it's time to get an attitude of, I'm going to take this city back over. I'm going to take our school. Some of you daddies tonight need to go home tonight and say, listen, I'm redeeming this home for God. I'm taking my home back. I'm taking my marriage back. I'm taking my family back. I'm taking our school back. There's nothing that can stop you, teenagers. Nothing can stop you. You walk out of here and say, tomorrow, this school is God's school. We're going to run rampant in this school. In your businesses and in your workplace, you get together and say, we're taking it back over for Jesus. Nothing can stop you. Nothing. This town needs to hear that Valley View is taking it over. Our God's going to rule. Not the devil. Not the drugs. Not the alcohol. Not the porn. Not the lies. Not the cheats. Not the abuse, not the affairs. The gospel. We're going to take this back for the gospel's sake. Tuscaloosa belongs to God, not the devil. We're going to have some passionate followers of Christ to say, I'll sell everything I have, God. I'll sell it all. I just want this place to know Jesus. Some of us need to get so stinking radical this evening that we say, I'll do whatever it takes for my daughter, for my boy to know Jesus. I'll do whatever it takes for my wife and my, or my husband to know Jesus. I'm taking them back. Because I believe, I'm passionate about Jesus Christ and the gospel. Now it's time for the prophet to speak. Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, watch this. He says, I was no prophet nor a prophet's son. Now that's kind of funny to me if you'll think about it. He's been walking around Bethel for days prophesying like a pro. And he says, first thing he says, I'm not a prophet. Well, you know what he's saying here? He's saying this, listen, I am not a volunteer into the ministry. I'm a draftee. He's saying, listen, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't seek this out. God sought me out for this calling. And I'm telling every single one of you, God is seeking you out. He is seeking you out to be that passionate daddy, that passionate mommy, that passionate teenager. To turn this place upside down for the gospel. You're not just signing up for this. You're not just seeking it out. He's seeking you out. The king is seeking you out. He says, but the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, go prophesy to my people Israel. Isn't that interesting? God says, go and prophesy to Bethel, and Bethel says, flee from here and don't prophesy. Did you catch that? You see, that's what the world's telling students and adults and everybody alike. Listen, who are you going to listen to? He says, now therefore, hear the word of the Lord. You say, do not prophesy against Israel and do not preach against the house of Isaac. Listen to this. Therefore, since you have rejected the message and the messenger of God, this is what's going to happen to you. Your wife, look, he's saying this to the high priest and to the king. Listen, the high priest and the king. And he says this, your wife will be a prostitute in the city. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You better be sure you have heard from the Lord. You better be close to the Lord if you're going to make that prediction, okay? He's just getting started. Oh, by the way, your sons and your daughters shall fall by the sword. They're going to die. And your land shall be divided up with the measuring line. Your land's gone. And Israel... Now, look at that little conjunction there, and it's hard to see here, but let me just show you what that means. The man of God is sitting there speaking, and this word and, it literally gives this visual expression of him walking away and then coming back and saying, just one more thing. Just one more thing. And Israel shall surely go into exile away from its land. What is the significance of that, church? The significance of that is, listen to me, the person, the family, the church, the nation, the people group, the tribe, whoever rejects the message of God and the messenger of God, listen to me, destruction will come upon that people, that person, those people, that nation, and the destruction will be thorough and it will be complete. It's coming. It's coming. And so the question is, what are we going to do about it? Because if what God does in your lives tonight... Some of you, as I said last night, very well could lose your life. And let's just get real dramatic for a moment, if you don't mind. And let's just say that every single person in here falls on our face before God tonight and says, God, I want to be that passionate person. I want to be that person who takes the gospel anywhere. I want to be that daddy to see my home turned around, my marriage turned around, my kids turned around. I am, from this day forward, it is all Jesus. Paul said, listen, you can, if you want to keep me alive, that's fine. I'm going to serve Jesus. He said, you want to kill me, that's fine. It's just all Jesus to me. And for those of you who commit to that tonight, listen to me. Let's just say for a moment that you lose everything you have. We're almost done. Let's say that you lose everything you have because of the decision you make tonight for Jesus. Let's say you get arrested. Let's say you lose all your money. You lose all your possessions. You lose all your friends. You lose it all. Let's say that you are tortured and you are even killed for your faith. Not because you did anything wrong, but because you were just a complete sold out, passionate, devoted follower of Christ. Let's say that that rings true for you. Let's say you lose it all for the sake of the gospel, even your life. And you go through horrible goodbyes, horrible pain, extreme disappointment, you die. In that condition, I will tell you that even if that comes true for all of us, there will come a day when we put one pinky toe into God's heaven and we will look back over all the pain and all the loss and all the torment and all the goodbyes and all the torture and all the death, listen to me, and with great confidence and with great boldness and with great assurance, even if that rings true for us, we will be able to stand firmly in God's heaven one day and declare with all confidence and with all boldness that it was all worth it because Jesus is worth it all. He's worth it all. And I'm telling you, Christian, listen to me. There is pain and there is hurt in this world, but the moment you put one foot into God's heaven, do you realize that for the first time in your existence, the power of hell, the devil, and the demons and temptation and sin will no longer have any reign on your life? Never. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do in between? You want something so passionate that you're willing to sell everything and to die? I've got that for you tonight. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. We got to quit playing games. So the question is, what are you going to choose? Are you going to be like Amos? Or are we going to be like the normal Christian? Are we going to be like Amos? Or are we going to be like the normal Christian? So this is what we're going to do. I want you to listen very, very closely. For every man, every woman, by the way, men, you're the spiritual leader of your home. You set that climate, not your wife. Statistically, I'm telling you, many, many wives across this land are setting the spiritual climate, and they're going to be blessed tremendously one day because their husband's not. Men, it's time to rise up. Men, it's time to take that back and take our homes back for Jesus. Some of your homes, listen to me, I'm telling you, I am reading some of your mail tonight, right now. I'm in your home, and I know. It's almost like that. You got to take it back tonight. Students, you got to take it back tonight. You got to take your school back tonight. We got to take our businesses back tonight. Ladies, we got to take back the area of influence that we have. We got to take Tuscaloosa back. We got to take our churches back for the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this is what we're going to do. And just in a second, I'm going to say a prayer. And as soon as I say amen to that prayer, if God has spoken to any of you as believers and he has spelled it out very clearly what you need to do, about being this passionate follower of Christ, just like we've talked about all evening. That you know that's not your life. You know that's not your life right now. But God has pricked your heart, and you know that that's what you're supposed to be. You know that. Men, women, boys, and girls, you know that. And so as soon as I say amen, I'm going to invite you to literally flood this altar. Some of you need to get spread completely out on your face before God tonight. You may need to get in an aisle. You might need to get off to the side and you say, oh God, I'm tired of living a normal Christian life. Normal stinks. I don't want to be a mediocre Christian. Not because of what Jesus did. No way, no how. No, I'm not. I'm drawing a line in the sand tonight. Drawn a line in the sand tonight, and I'm taking my family back. I'm taking my school back. I'm taking my life back. I'm taking our city back. I'm going to live with the purpose that God intended. I'm going to live the mission that Jesus died for. I'm not going to settle anymore. I want to be that passionate follower of Jesus. I want to go anywhere He tells me to go. I know it's going to be hard, but I'm there. Send me. Send my family. Use me to turn this world upside down for the cause of the gospel. And number two, listen to me. Second thing tonight. There's people in here, you don't know Jesus. Matter of fact, everything I've said tonight, you're like, what in the world? You know what you need to do? You've realized tonight you're lost and you're on your way to hell. Listen, you have come to the exact place you should be. And as soon as I say amen, I'm going to invite you to come. And I want you to come up here to one of these guys, one of these ladies that's going to be up here, and simply say, I need Jesus. You say, hey, that's the guy I want to follow. That's who I want to follow. Some of you, just like this young man, you've never been scripturally baptized. Some of you need to say, listen, you can never be a passionate follower of Christ and live out God's plan if you don't follow Him in believer's baptism. First step of obedience right there. Some of you need to come forward tonight and say, I need to be baptized. I've never been baptized. Some of you have been coming to this church for a while and you're not a member. You haven't committed to this church. And some of you need to come forward tonight and say, listen, I'm not coming and just sitting anymore. I'm all in. I am all in. Sign me up. Sign me up. I'm going to be part of this local body. Sign me up. The decision is yes. The answer is yes. Sign me up. I want to be part of this fellowship. I want to be part of this family. Hey, let's just nail down some decisions tonight in our lives that's going to last for all of an eternity. Let's go all out for Jesus tonight. For the rest of our lives, from this day forward, we're drawing that line in the sand. Jesus, I am all yours. No matter what it takes, no matter what it costs me, you're worth it all. So here we go. As soon as I say amen, you come. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Do not stay where you are. You come immediately. Run down here if you have to. Grab your family. Run down here if you have to. Get to Jesus. Call out to Him tonight. Father, we need your touch tonight. Father, right now you are touching men and women and boys and girls. Father, let us be like Amos tonight. We're not settling. There are some daddies in this place tonight that need to draw a line in the sand. There are some moms and some wives in here that need to draw a line in the sand. Some students. There are people here that need to draw a line in the sand and say, never again. No way. I'm following Jesus and I'm giving Him our lives and our family and our resources. It's all His. No matter what. Father, help us to draw lines in the sand tonight. We pray this fall down upon us tonight. Fall down upon us in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.